Broadcasting from Boston, Massachusetts, the Smart Cities Podcast is the only podcast dedicated to all things smart cities. The podcast is the creation of ARC Advisory Group's Smart City Practice. ARC advises leading companies, municipalities, and governments on technology trends and market dynamics that affect their business and quality of life in their cities. To engage further, please like and share our podcast or reach out directly on Twitter at Smart City Viewpoints or on our website at www.arcweb.com/industries/smart-cities.
Today we have Greg Clearwater. He is the Vice President of Business Development for Cory's, and we're going to ask him a number of questions today. So Greg, to get started, could you please share your background and responsibilities at Cory's?
Well, sure, Rick, and thank you for inviting me for this opportunity. As you mentioned, I am the Vice President of Business Development for Cory's. I oversee business development activities for Cory's Inc. for the hydrocarbon processing industry, directing a team of sales account managers. Our market includes upstream, midstream, and refining. It includes chemicals, petrochemicals, and fertilizer industry segments. My team manages customers in Americas and those globally for legacy customers that stem from our various dynamic simulation acquisitions over the past 50 years, like Autodynamics and RSI SimCon. Cory's primarily provides multifunction dynamic operator training solutions, which is called OTS generally in the market, a three-letter acronym. And that's comprised of high-fidelity process models linked to control and safety systems. We have a near-perfect emulation of all the major DCS and SIS systems as an alternative to a link system. We also provide 3D models, primarily for clients engaged in green and brownfield process expansions, revamps, and retrofits. Similarly, we work with partners to provide field operator training that use RFID tablets connected to the OTS. We manage direct sales and channel partners who are in the automation, process licensing, and engineering contractor spaces. And we have a library of standard high-fidelity dynamic process models that are provided as training as a service, which is deployed on the web and bundled with support training and training content. We're actually the largest platform independent provider of work on all systems. So my background is started with Exxon and Florham Park in a simulation background. So I was doing pipe stills and Alky units way back when, and I've had a number of jobs over the year spanning operating companies, automation vendors, and consulting companies, and I've been with Cory's a little over 4 years. It's kind of a perfect fit for me, given my background.
So great. That's quite an extensive background. You know, some of us go back to the old days when Autodynamics was one of the very early developers of simulation, so we know such companies, and it's great that you've been able to kind of evolve their core technology since then and join that with so many other things. So this market is a very interesting market right now. Cory's supplies operative training and engineering simulators for the rail, transport, energy, hydrocarbon industries, and with a record low price of oil, the refining industry is stressed, and growth in nuclear power industry is also very slow. What is Cory's doing to provide compelling products and services in these stressed industries?
Well, that's a very good question, Rick. We've responded to the market with lower cost subscription-based training as a service, as I mentioned before. This is getting traction and it helps the customer address training needs for refresher and process training for new hires and experienced operators and people changing jobs. While the models are generic or standard, they are based on high fidelity modeling, which is based on first principles. And this allows for structured training scenarios, procedural-based training using a simulator, and they go a long way to bring someone up to speed on any number of safety, process, and operating training objectives. Of course, the more expensive and logical extension of this approach is to go to a custom model where the model is built to identically match the P&IDs, the process dynamics, and operator interface, and actual controls and safety systems. Further, to keep engaged and to assist our companies in these challenging times, we're also using our subject matter experts and our process models, of which we have many, with customers in process troubleshooting and dynamic optimization studies. These process performance improvement engagements are win-wins, where we provide low-cost, high-value engineering services while maintaining customer relationships during a reduced CapEx business environment. Of course, petrochemicals, namely olefins, polyolefins, and PDH, pain dehydrogenation processes, while shifted somewhat, are in a growth mode, and we are seeing that all the projects that we had on the books are coming back, and there are also new projects being bid. that's where we are with that. Some of the other ideas that we have to address the market is just staying abreast with what our customers are doing and what the customers want. And this all through our organization gets feedback into development.
One of the situations with generic simulations is you can make them very high fidelity, and that includes very high fidelity, which leads me to my next question for virtual reality, VR simulations in three dimensions. It gets to be a little bit pricey to have a custom unit specific 3D VR and keep that synchronized to a constantly changing plant. So the technology for VR, AR, and three dimensions expanded greatly in the past 5 years. The video game industry has developed improved hardware and software to support these environments. Cory's has developed their own simulator. I think it's called VESA. How important is it for Cory's to provide training that uses these new technologies, and how does that integrate with your existing process and control simulations?
Well, it's very important to us to continue to deliver and develop VR, AR, and 3D to our customers. I mean, this is evidenced by our proven track record in delivering these solutions to the market globally, and it's fostered further by the market demand and high interest we see in the product. In fact, it's been so great that we have a webinar on the topic coming up, and we're actively engaged with several major oil companies and fertilizer companies in providing prototypes of these. And you mentioned cost. I have to admit that these are all add-ons to our existing OTS that were delivered on the process side for operator training. So the process model wasn't part of the cost of the 3D add-on. The cost of our 3D was to build a model with pictures or LiDAR or other inputs to our modeling package. And then some of those are actually of interest to customers without a process model behind them, just for procedural based training. So we're looking forward to this market kind of being an incremental growth area for us. And we do have on our product development roadmap additional functionality and integration with other leading technologies that have been discovered by us, or developed by us, or introduced by customers. In the end, we're an engineering company that provides dynamic training solutions, and the experience and professionalism of our engineers are our real deliverable and why we enjoy partnerships that span over decades in the market. On price, we find we can deliver a 3D solution at about a quarter of the cost of the corresponding process OTS, and technologies are becoming easier to make. What once took months to accomplish can be now done in a matter of weeks.
You do provide unit-specific models and simulations, and not just 3D models with your generics.
Yeah, in fact, that's all we've done so far. Is, you know, we've worked as add-ons to existing projects we've done in the past. Some of them have been through partners in the fertilizer market, and some have been directly with the oil refiners that built a new unit and they wanted this in conjunction with it. There's also a large modernization project in the Middle East that has had it also as somewhat of a curiosity, but it's not for every unit, but it's for, they're trying to explore what it's like. I mean, it's very sexy, right? And people are interested in it. But the real benefits, the field operator can basically be trained to walk out into the unit and talk to the board operator and basically through a headset talk to an SME and basically learn his job and be rated on how fast he's doing something or how well he does something. And you sort of get the best practices of the experts kind of there at hand for the young guys and the new guys to learn something. And it's much easier to learn off one of these systems than, say, the old field operator device. It's like a DCS screen or some kind of PC-based screen that just kind of shows a bypass valve or shows the general vicinity where a pump is. This actually gives them the look and feel of the real unit. And I'll tell you, this can go very fast. I'm surprised at how fast we can build those. Of course, we have that centered in China. Our division in China actually developed that software and executes the model development for us, as they do with some of our other projects. Of course, we project manage them and do the quality checks and the training and interface with the customer. But we're becoming very cost effective and fast.
Training for console operators has been, you know, one of the main focuses that we've seen in the industry. And sometimes training simulators for field operators is less likely to occur. I actually did a while back a man down simulation where they simulated somebody that had a heart attack up on a distillation tower and had to simulate the whole rescue and actually brought fire trucks and real things in. And that real life simulation is very, very effective. So in your experience, though, training for upset conditions, startups, shutdowns, you know, nuclear core meltdowns, fire, environmental releases are all very important. So when you're training, you obviously can train both console and field operators as part of the same system. And how does PORES address this critical training needs, and who is it that develops the scenarios that are to be addressed?
Well, you're describing what we see our customers do with our core deliverables. All the training functions and scenarios and benefits that you described above are always included in our project. This is facilitated and accomplished using our instructor station software, which uses exact DCS graphics that the board and field operators see and use combined with a structured companion training manual containing documented scenarios, but it's sort of like a partnership. We have the software and we have, you know, it's easy to use. It can be extended by the end user to add scenarios. It can be templatized. And of course, our software can monitor the performance of the trainee. So the way it generally works for us is that we sit down with one of their SMEs, subject matter experts on a given process area, and we co-developed a set of scenarios. Usually we develop around 30 for a companion training manual. And that's sort of provided as a living document and left to the customer. Of course, in parallel to that, and you know, we have these annual support maintenance contracts, which provide us a number of hours every year where the end user can do whatever they want with them. And oftentimes it's training the trainee or providing a system training course or an end user training course of our software. I mean, if you could only see our software, and I've seen a number of them, it's very easy to use. Even I can use it, and I'm an old guy, and you know, it's very valuable to customers. So one of the, it's just interesting in telling customers about it, how they'll ask questions like they just don't even believe that what I'm talking about can be done because they've never seen it anywhere else. Code validation is also a huge benefit for DCS modernization and retrofit projects by shortening process time cycles, finding errors in the process design and the DCS configuration in time to be corrected before commissioning. And a lot of that is driving a lot of our projects with DCS has sort of gone in 20-year life cycles, and I think we're on this third or fourth generation. And we're seeing, you know, some major companies move away from something they've standardized on, and they're changing their DCS out wholesale along a certain business unit. And so they've, fortunately for us, they've migrated to the thought that, hey, look, a rigorous, dynamic, high-fidelity training simulator, while expensive, pays for itself in less than 6 months, sometimes 3 months, just by virtue of the fact that they can start a project up faster and the people are trained completely on all scenarios before they hit the plant. Now, startups on a new facility, this is perfect. The problem becomes is when you have a plant that's been around for turnarounds are every 4 or 5 years, they're always running at some steady state operating conditions that they more or less have run all the time. And even the experienced guys haven't, you know, practiced any of these situations where they could run into trouble. And it's hard to justify a training simulator if everything's going smoothly. It almost has to be an accident before they go, hey, man, this might be important for us. Fortunately, some of our customers have the foresight and the top management commitment that, hey, this is important. And I think even insurance, and I've even used this occasionally, is that I know for a fact that customers can reduce their insurance rates if they have a simulator. This is certainly true in the nuclear industry where it's a requirement. In the hydrocarbon processing industry, other than Canada, who just do it because they know it makes sense, it's not really mandated.
We often see these types of simulations put on high consequence units. You know, obviously, nuclear power accidents have very high expense, you know, from radiation, et cetera. Also, oil industry, chemicals, explosives, fertilizers, all of these industries, you know, can cause a great deal of damage. And there's always this problem of, you know, how much will this training simulator reduce the frequency of accidents? And there's often the attitude that, well, this kind of accident won't happen in my plant. And you could interview people the day after an accident. That's what they were saying the day before. So there definitely is a way to reduce your insurance rates, reduce the frequency of accidents. You know, we know that operator training is the key thing at ARC. That's training by simulators is really the most effective.
Yeah, another benefit I think is procedural automation, ISA 106. You know, you have Coker drum switches and some other sort of batch type processes for continuous processes that are sort of provided by some of the automation vendors. But this is a perfect platform to test procedural automation logic. And, you know, so it's got a lot of value. It tends to go along with capital projects for new units, though, and it's always a tough sell for something. And it's all justified around checking out the DCS code.
Pretty much ending the questions that I have, or certainly like to thank you for speaking with ARC today. And we really look forward to seeing what Corey's is going to come out with next.
Well, it's always a pleasure to talk with you, Rick.
Broadcasting from Boston, Massachusetts, the Smart Cities Podcast is the only podcast dedicated to all things smart cities. The podcast is the creation of ARC Advisory Group's Smart City Practice. ARC advises leading companies, municipalities, and governments on technology trends and market dynamics that affect their business and quality of life in their cities. To engage further, please like and share our podcast or reach out directly on Twitter at Smart City Viewpoints or on our website at www.arcweb.com/industries/smart-cities.